Good morning. I like this view today. It's good. And yes, you're not having a color malfunction. My shirt is yellow. Praise God for that. As we begin, we're going to be in Romans. And when I started typing up this sermon and the Lord laid it on me, I typed it in, and you know, on your computer drive, when you do that, your computer will, if you did something in the same name, it'll pop up. You know what I mean? So I was kind of laughing because the Lord had bumped my heart with this. And when I typed it in, it was like three different entries that came in. One, two, three. So we'll call this four. And I don't mind being repetitious because I know Peter, he thought it right to stir the people up in 1 Peter by way of remembrance. Funny thing. By means of repetition in what we see in the scripture, the way God designed us, we must be people that need reminders, need repetition to get it in our spirit. I really believe that. I had something come to me that and then I want to start out. We're going to be in Romans 8:28. The minute I say that, a lot of people go, I know exactly. Because I put, being transformed is a must. That's the title I put on it. But just seeing all that's going on in the world and Christians that are going through it, was praying with a good brother of mine. And I heard something real clearly, and I came to grips with it. I wrote down something in my, as I was praying, I even pulled my phone up so I wouldn't space it out. And I wrote down, I believe that many times our current dilemmas that we face are a direct answer from God to the things we have asked either to grow in or both we need to be free from. I want to say that again. I believe in many times, all of our lives, me included, the dilemmas we face are a direct answer from God regarding something we have asked to get from him or in grow in or something we've asked him to free us of. You know, you never want to let a good trial go to waste because it wishes to do a work in you that is transforming. You understand what I'm saying? Never let a trial go to waste. I lived many years as a believer, I've got to be honest, where I wanted to go through trials and I just asked God to give me strength to bear them. For many years, I never even in my mind, now I downed myself with saying this, I'm not looking at anybody else. Many years, I just didn't like trials. I didn't like affliction. I didn't like pain. I didn't like going through something. I wanted things to run smoothly. And then my major thing was, God, get rid of this thing. It bothers me. And then, you know, God, give me strength to get to the other side. But please get to the other side as quickly as I can. I missed the value of a dilemma. I missed the value of hardship. I missed the value of what God was doing. And what I realized later, took a few years, that Mike, it's like the Lord had spoke to my heart. Said, Mike, this thing and that thing and this thing, you would ask me for this. You would ask me for an increase in this. You would ask me to be free of this. And I delivered it. I door dropped it to you. I mailed it to you. But you're going to start walking because as we get older, there's a mandate that we mature. There really is. If you had a baby that stayed this small for the rest of its life, number one, something's wrong with it. And it's going to die. And I realized never let a good trial go to waste. When you face a dilemma, find out if it's a direct, you've asked God. I've seen people, an interesting thing, and this is human, not some people and not others. I've seen people where they will cry out for something consistently, and God will constantly bring a thing that allows them to conquer what they are facing. The very weakness that they have, the bondage they have, I've seen it. I've seen it in myself. I've seen it in others. God brings it again and again, and they're like, oh, my God, what's going on? It's like, really? It's like, Mike, do you remember what you asked the Lord for the last 5 years? Do you remember what you asked God to free you from for the last 5 years? Here's your chance. Step up, walk over it. But here's the beauty about someone. I say this to myself as well as you. God is extremely merciful, and he's patient. Otherwise, we would just hit the test, fail it, he would go, and there'd be a shadow or a burn mark in the cement where we stood. But God is not like that, where he takes us again and again. And it resembles 40 years in the wilderness, doesn't it? The only problem is 40 years actually did run out, and the entire first generation died. And only there was only a couple from that deck that came through. Anybody know who they were? Joshua, Caleb. Am I right in that? Mm-hmm. anyway, I just was praying with a friend of mine. And this came to me so strong. It was so strong that I went, wow, Lord, you reminded me of something, that the dilemmas I face, the dilemmas that our people face, are many times a direct opportunity to get whatever we've been asking for. And they're an opportunity to gain what we've been asking for. And they're an opportunity to have bondages shed off. My prayer has been for deliverance and demonic deliverance. I don't know that I've ever seen the body more natural, in that demonic stuff is not brought up. More people acting like they're dealing with flesh and blood when it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But let's move on. And we're going to go to Romans 8:28 today. And this is scripture you know. But I pray I can shed some new light on it, even as the Lord did this to me. And it says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. As I begin, I cannot stress enough the mandate, not the suggestion, that you are progressively transformed into the image of Christ, into the image of Jesus. I can't say it enough. The answer to your problems is Christ. The answer to your dilemmas is Jesus being manifest. The answer to everything you face is that the Son of God wants to deal with it, but he's doing it through us. Think about it. Have you ever asked God to deal with things? I've done this a lot too. Again, I can't kind of throw myself under the bus today, all kinds of ways. And I'm like, Jesus, please intervene. I can just see Jesus saying, I'm trying, but it's through you that I'm going to intervene. You want me to show up apart from you and do something, but I want to go through you, to you, through you, and I'm going to solve this. I'm going to stand in the midst of the situation. Let me be manifest in you. Let me be manifest in you. We make decisions under tension, under anger, under strife. We make all kinds of calls, and Jesus says, I need to be made manifest. Unless I've manifested, you have no clue what this will look like. So being transformed into the image, again, it's not that, because anytime you read this verse, everybody knows it. In fact, many misquote it, because just to put it in a quick context, all things work to the good as pertaining to shaping you into the image of Christ and causing the manifestation of Jesus to come and manifest in the situation. Not all things work for good situation. Not all things work for comfort. All things work for the good pertaining to you being shaped into the image of Christ. Now, I say this in a great hope, because here's what God's been speaking to me. We are in the latter days. Don't care how you do your eschatological calendar, whether if it was 100 years till Jesus returned, that's the latter days. Actually, from the time that Christ was crucified and ascended, and the apostles were commissioned, and the church started on the day of Pentecost, we've been in the last days. But we are winding horribly down. But what's interesting is I'm not looking for the apocalypse. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for the appearing. Isn't it interesting? The scripture never really called us to use revelation as a means of conviction, and yet people do it all the time. But I want to stress to you today that God is wanting to do that in you. In fact, if you ever go like, what's God's plan for my life? He wants to transform you into the image of his son. Oh, I know. I mean the callings. Well, everything you're ever going to do in the kingdom of God is going to be done through the Son of God manifesting in you, to you, and through you, everything. So oftentimes we get so caught up in maybe what we'll do or where we'll go, and we are not manifesting Jesus, and he is not becoming more, and I'm not becoming less, and that is a direct hindrance. That's why I said being transformed today is a must. Many times we are Christians for many years, and we think we got a grasp on Christianity. But really, it is about being conformed and transformed. It's a supernatural thing into the image of the Son. So many times we're kind of saying, yeah, I've been in Jesus 40 years. Yeah, I know all that stuff, and I'm unhappy. Or I've been in Jesus 50 years, and yeah, I get that part. But we don't understand that is like the hinge pin that everything turns on. If you're in a situation, Jesus wants to manifest in it. Now, I say that as an encouragement. If you're in a situation, the Son of God wants to be made manifest in you, through you, and then to you. And now I want to say this too. Jesus made fully manifest in your situation, and all hell will break loose. Let me explain why that happens. God is shaping you and is magnifying Christ in you. This is one of the standard lines we need to use. It isn't even about simple morality. It isn't about being necessarily a good guy or a bad guy. It's really about Christ wants to be manifest. But if you remember, Jesus would come into a town and the demoniacs would meet him at the border of the town. Because a drop of glory and a drop of the manifestation of Christ is stronger than 500 million tons of demonic energy. Jesus wants to do this in you. In fact, it's really critical. And I say this because since the day you were born again, this is what was actually trying to go on. But the problem is, we really get born again. We really come to Jesus. The cross really happens. And then many times people are mentored in religious moralism, being a good neighbor simply without the manifestation of Christ. You know, one of the things when I preach about in the last days, difficult times will come, and it talks about people holding to a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The power of godliness is actually being Christ being manifest, Christ being manifest to you, in you, and Christ being manifest to the situations around you. One of the things the devil hates is any step you take in your faith that makes you more like the Son of God. Because here's the problem. As I'm made into the image of Christ, it's not just an imitation, but the very person of Jesus through that transformation comes through me to varying degrees. Jesus, it says, came to destroy the works of the devil. There's a reason why you get attacked demonically. And because the more Jesus manifests, every demon that has been in your life knows that they will be destroyed. And mostly what will be destroyed is not the demonic being himself, but the works that he's busy doing will be destroyed. If you want the destruction of the things that the enemy is building in your life, Jesus needs to manifest. And again, more times than not, we're asking God to intervene in a way to where it's not through us. He just got to come down in the situation, and yet he wants to be manifested through you. You're a part of the solution. You will never not be a part of the solution. You know, it's interesting. We play video games, you know, when you get an avatar. Now, don't laugh at me. I'm not exactly the deepest tool on the shelf, but you know what I'm saying. You get a little guy that plays, and you're running this guy with the controller, and sometimes he's falling off cliffs, he's getting smashed, he's exploding. You know what I'm saying? And you don't feel a thing. You might be aggravated because you lost the level. But when it really is Jesus going through us, it isn't like an avatar that you're playing with the controller. It's actually a lot deeper than that. Jesus is coming through you. There's a merging with his being. This is impossible technically. But because of the blood of Jesus, there was a merging and melding. We have to start saying something in our lives because I want Jesus to manifest through me. In fact, I know when he does, I'm going to minister to my full potential. I'm going to go into situations, and I definitely will be a light that darkness cannot hold down. But at the same breath, doing this, we do have to realize there can be whiplash, there could be kickbacks, there could be attacks against us. One of the things that demons do, they're really good at intimidation, they stir up. I want to say this too, as we're going to manifest Christ, Christ never stirs you up. Christ never stirs you up. When I deal with people that are stirred up, the thing is, I've been here many times myself. When I'm stirred up, many times I miss the point that very thing that's stirring up is totally not of the Lord. When people speak into you and they're stirred up, they wish to stir you up. They want you to come into union with the demonic stuff that is holding their lives. They want you to join them. That's why often you see a dissensus or division, and it infects one and infects another, because that's a stirring up of the saints. Now, you must realize that every day, every event that is going on in our lives is God trying to further transform us into the image of Christ. But if you're allergic to pain and conflict, I want God to touch you today so that you are not allergic to pain and conflict. You know, it's interesting. If somebody would have preached this to me my first year in the Lord, I would have rejected it wholesale. I would have walked out and said, I thank you, God, that I'm blessed and I'm the head and I'm not the tail. And I would have used actually scriptures to fight against God. I would. I would have brought up truths that actually counteract the scripture. And I would have said, no, I don't want that. I don't want pain. I don't want somebody to attack me. I don't want somebody attacking my character. I don't want them speaking bad about me. And yet it's funny because, you know, it's interesting. here's Jesus walking in this earth. Demoniacs are coming at him. They wanted to kill him. When he did a miracle, they wanted him to get. So Satan is always going to try to suppress the process of transformation that you're going through. Pass or fail has to be determined by whether or not we're more like the Son of God. I don't mean imitation. I mean whether he's manifesting or not. Pass or fail. You know, in many ways, you know what we did? We told a generation of Christians, and we're really getting our rears kicked for this false theology. We've told Christians to learn the strike points and quote the truths with no view of supernatural transformation. We said, you're a good Christian. And that's not at all. And I've always challenged people to get into this. It's not in the scripture at all. That's not what it says being a good Christian is. The manifestation of the word becoming flesh in your life is the pass or fail. That's why we are guilty of verbosity, or as my wife calls it, verbiage, where we're just full of a lot of words and we say a lot of things. And we say a lot of true things, but they're not true at all. We don't experience them. But to be made in his likeness is to definitely see, and I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it, to be made more and more into his likeness is what God's doing in you today. I want you to see that. Even in the pain, even in the sorrow, even in the flames, he is wanting to further transform you. I want you to think about this. To be made in his likeness, I wrote it down, is to see the manifestation of his anointing. The very anointing that was on Jesus as he walked in the Spirit. The Spirit was moving in him. To be manifestation is to be the manifestation of his anointing, his wisdom, his actions, leading our lives. That's what I want to do. Do I want to react to the world I live in? I have to. Do I want to react in the situations I'm in? I have to. But I want to react, and I want Jesus reacting in me. When people ask you what's God saying, and this is a question I ask so many people, if I had to write on a piece of paper, because I say it to myself as well, Mike, in the midst of this fire, what is the Lord saying to you? Mike, it's not a simple statement of like, I wonder what his will is. No, it's a statement of Jesus being manifest. It isn't just what is he saying, but if he's saying and you're listening, he wants to manifest through you. Well, why does it count? Well, because I want to be the Son of God reacting in my life. I don't want to be somebody else. And if I react as a mere man, I will die as a man. If I react as a mere man, I will unfortunately get no farther than mortality. But here's the downside, and there's no real downside, but walking in his image also has a cross. You know, it's interesting. You will never have a resurrection unless there's a cross. To experience resurrection, in this transformation is twofold. It's working in you to manifest Jesus in your life and your situation. And don't underestimate yourself, because Jesus fully intends to come through his church in power and glory that is uncontainable, undeniable, cannot be repressed, suppressed. But carrying the cross, it's interesting. If I want to walk in resurrection power, then more of me needs to die. It's as simple as that. More of the Mike-isms need to die. The self needs to die. The Mike pride needs to die. Mike's interpretation of his own theology needs to die. I can't be raised if I've never carried a cross. So walking in his image, as it's getting transformed into a cross, is going to show up. It has to. In fact, I would even say at the beginning, as you're being transformed, and this happens when you get born again, supposedly, but we have a whole lot of gospels now where this isn't required. Is there's going to be, you know, it's funny, you're going to be crucified with Christ. The minute you come to Christ, this was one of the first things. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and he said what? And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So walking in his image brings a cross. Walking in his image means being dead to self. Walking in his image means doing what you see the Father doing. Walking in his image means pleasing the Father instead of pleasing man. You know, Jesus could have been a great rabbi if he would have shut up and told the lie. Of course, he wasn't there to be a great rabbi. He was the Son of God. There were so many situations. You know, it's interesting. Paul was crucified. Paul was manifesting Jesus. But for Paul, he had Roman citizenship. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He said it himself. And the cost of pleasing God above men was a cost that was very difficult for Paul to pay. But he gladly paid it. In fact, Paul got to a point, because this actually coincides with this thing we need. He said, I count the past as rubbish He actually called it garbage. If you're wondering where the first time garbage was used in the Greek, in the scripture, Paul calls it rubbish. But here's the thing I want you to realize today. And sometimes we may feel attacked. Sometimes we may feel down, discouraged. Sometimes life seems to not move. And many times as human beings, we kind of, and there's a truth to this and not, we are what we do. So we have religious behaviors and different things we do. I believe that believers and people that have been transformed truly do. They truly act out. But the thing that we got to judge is the spirit of man and of the age attempts to hinder the process of you becoming more like Jesus and doing things like Jesus would do. That's the whole deal right there. See, the devil knows very thoroughly that as the Son of God is manifest, his works just get destroyed. It messes them up. As Jesus walked the earth, can you imagine how nutty the devil must have been for 33 and a half years? Because everywhere he went, he broke the bonds of the devil. Everywhere he went, he broke the bonds of sickness. Everywhere he went, he messed up the religious order. And it's funny because isn't it amazing that the world didn't crucify Jesus? Technically speaking, the church crucified him. It's funny. We often see the greatest enemy as, you know, the world and its wickedness, but that Esther wasn't one that said crucify him. That was God's people. That's it. They used the world to get it done. Did you ever see people do that nowadays too? Where they got wrath and vengeance and they're really hating Jesus and then they go to the world to get the dirty work done that they technically can't get done. Tell me in your mind if that ever pops in and you go, I've seen that. Oh, I've seen it, absolutely. In fact, when Paul talks in Corinthians about, you know, not going to the courts and, you know, that he actually called the church to have a system of judgment where they could solve cases, he says, you guys go to the world and it's already a defeat for you. It's already a defeat for you. But I want you to think about something. The spirit of the age fights because if our highest priority is his desire and his will, then there's going to be a tension but that exists in people. But I don't say this because many times a cult leader will say, you know, it's the church that crucified Jesus and he's right. And yet he uses that logic for false doctrine, stuff that is not in the scripture. But it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever thought of this because we focus a lot about the world we live in. And I think one of the biggest problems is religious spirit. I think a religious spirit is more capable of killing the Christian in the world, big time. Big time. Now, we know there's martyrdom through the years by pagans. We know that Rome shed the blood of so many martyrs, including Paul. But it's interesting. Paul was in secret, and Paul was in jail because the very people, the Pharisees, got him stuck there. Are you with me on this? Paul was not in bondage because the world jailed him. Paul was in bondage because God's people used the world to get him put in jail for treason. Are you getting this? There's a war coming. I'm going to explain something to you. There's religious institutions and religious systems, and there's the people of God. They're not always the same. There are those that talk about God, and then there are those that actually talk for God. And it's interesting because any religious system, when Jesus enters it, he is an insult to the very system itself because, well, he's the real deal. When somebody talks about God and quotes him and they believe just that they can quote it, that's the very essence, so they can say the right set of facts. But when the word becomes flesh and raises up, they hate it. Part of this is important that you understand because in your transformation, God is doing it right now. Right now, if we could see what's going on, if we could see divine activity, you would be shocked at how the Lord is doing. Now, Satan's focus is fixed. I want to say this to you. The devil does not want me unhappy, necessarily. He doesn't necessarily want me poor. No, he's not wasting time with things that don't matter. But what he's real involved with is a manifestation of the Son of God in my home, in my life, in my marriage, with my kids. This is what he's trying to either slow down or totally stop. I've been in many situations that are difficult. I think we all have. I think we've all lived life and we've seen our share of conflict. But I realized as I was praying this week and saying, Lord, what do I bring forth? And He said, transformation. I saw this black letters in my mind. Transformation is a must to get to victory. Otherwise, you fight in him. And so, okay. The depth of my transformation, I want to bring this. A lot of people don't like this because if I say, you know, God wants to manifest more, then I'm insinuating. Some people go, well, he's not manifest. No. But you're in a progressive growth. Naturally, I will be more like Jesus today than I was 5 years ago, I pray. Naturally, there will be a greater expression and less hindrance in my being because I will allow that those parts to be dead. So the level of manifestation is a cure for you. I wrote this down, big letters, home, relationships, ministry. Any area of your life you can think of, the manifestation of Christ through you. Here's the other thing. If I'm asking a proxy to come in and work and he wants to work through me, but I'm wanting some magical powder dust to fall on my situation, what happens there is really not a lot. Because God wants to use me. Now, he may send others and use me, and it may be a mixture of different people. I've prayed to reach people where they were approached by strangers, but nevertheless, there they were, approached by strangers. Son of God coming through somebody else. But the level of transformation often talks to the depth of the cure for our situations. It often talks to the depth of what's going to get done. You know, sparing with my brother Bruce, and he's an ally in ministry, and we've actually prayed in the lines of this for a long time about Jesus manifesting through us. And I've asked God about the future of the church. I've asked God about the future of the body. And the more I ask him, the more this gets put right to me. And I love it because it makes a lot of sense. I didn't mind the bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? But really, I wanted the one that were, what is Jesus doing? So W-I-J-D, not W-W-J-D. Because Jesus is active. And what I have to often find is, what's your response to the situation? From the time the Gospels were read in English and not in Latin, Vatican I, Vatican II, I was a Catholic. The minute the priest started reading about Jesus, I had a gravity to want to be like that. Now, it's a mixed bag with a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old, but I remember thinking, he answers the one guy about greed, about the other woman, he says, where are thy accusers? And he's got he is God in flesh, God the Son, and he's cutting through the garbage, he's cutting through the fronting, he's cutting through the hypocrisy. And I thought, what an amazing thing. Now, 8:26, back to the Romans. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Did you know that the Spirit of God in your life is crying out to God, and he is perfectly interceded, perfectly, in a level of speech that human words cannot touch? And you know what he's interceding? He's praying exactly God's heart for you, God's emotion of transforming you. And he groans. He groans because many times we fight God ourselves. It isn't our outer enemies that do us in. It's our inner enemies that usually are lethal. But isn't it nice to know? And in verse 27, it says, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Before I have done a bit of prayer, the Spirit of God has interceded for me. And I mean, in fact, I believe if we could hear the recording of the Spirit interceding for us, there would be many emotions. We'd be enthused. We'd be totally embarrassed because we tend to compartmentalize our lives. God here, the secular here. We hide our sin over here. And then we got this religious part where Jesus can dwell. And the way the Spirit intercedes for us is probably so graphic that we would actually say, please stop, turn that off, turn that down, turn that down, turn it down, stop praying. Or at least I don't want to hear it because it prays seeing all things in me. And then it says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What I love though is 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of the Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And I've said this before, Jesus was an image of what we are becoming. Do you understand that? We have put Jesus in a religious sense to where, yes, he's the only Son of God. He is part of the Trinity. But we have put Jesus in a way to where we just, I mean, that's Jesus did that. And yet the scripture point blank says he's the firstborn among many brethren. We will be like him. We will talk like him. We will walk like him. There is a deep connection. And I, like I said, it's more of a religious spirit that we put him on a pedestal on purpose. God forbid if the burden in your life was becoming like him. God forbid if one of the pastor fail in your life was working in the anointing that Jesus worked in. God forbid that really we would rate the depth of our spirituality by the depth of manifestation of the Son of God. I think a lot of stuff, and came out of the Catholic Church, believe me, I know all about holding God as an untouchable God. The priest is Jesus on the earth. The Pope is the actual incarnation. I know all about putting different biblical characters on levels that were unattainable, thus alleviating my own need to be like them. That spirit's crying out, even right now, even as I preach, he's crying out for me. He's groaning. He's crying out for you. He's groaning. He is shaping us into the image of Christ. All things point to that. Now, me, I'm one of those guys saying, can't we all get along? You know, I love to sing Kumbaya and stand in a circle. It's interesting, and this is something that's hard to face sometimes, and I realize many times that every situation I'm in, God has a chance for this, God, for Jesus to be made manifest. Now, I got to tell you something. Like I said, this is not without attack, because, I mean, Paul did the will of God, and he lost his head. Jesus would speak a particular word to a donkey, and they said, Hosanna in the highest. And then some days later, they said, crucify. People are fickle. Situations are fickle. One thing about the world, especially the religious community, it is fickle. It can do one thing one minute. It's all, I almost call it manic. It's hot, it's cold, you know. The one who dips in the dish with you, the bread of fellowship, is the one who betrays you. And this is just, again, you start thinking about Jesus being manifest in you, and you realize there is a host of things that we all deal with. Too many times have I had situations that were, I looked at them simply in pass and fail as a Christian, but I didn't look at them as Christ needed to manifest. And the measure I put on my situations to see how good they were or bad they were in Christ was made. It's a very earthy thing. I didn't say Jesus was as full in that situation as he desired to be in me. Now I can see the result of what it's like when Jesus walks into my home. Many times that wasn't even the question. I talked about holding to some intellectual truth of the scripture and being moral and holding to some moral guidelines. All that is great. But the Son of God being manifested was never even in the conversation in my mind. I want to give you a possibility today. In all our lives, in our situations, what would it look like Christ manifesting? I mean, I'm talking about a supernatural Christ, Jesus. What does my situation look like when Christ manifests? Not tension manifests, not dissension manifests, not my own thinking manifests, but what would it look like Jesus fully showing up through me in any situation I'm in? See, all of what I'm saying right here isn't something you're getting right all the time or getting wrong all the time. And because it's a progressive thing till the day I die, see, what's going to happen is you're going to be getting shaped into the image of Christ. Now, eventually, you'll pass, this body will be shed, and you will be made perfect. But what's it say? You will be like him, Jesus, because you will see him as he is. So even when we die, the perfect culmination of all that we were becoming finally sums up in here we are. Again, I was praying with an ally in ministry. And, you know, sometimes God speaks so loudly that it's like, that was loud, God. And I was praying, and you interrupted my prayer, you know, and I was having a good time. I'm kind of being tongue-in-cheek with that. But he said very pointedly, and I knew it was the truth. In fact, there I went on my phone again, you know, because I'm praying with somebody on the phone, and I typed it in because I didn't want to lose it. And he said, the power that you allow to change you and transform you is the only power that can change those that are revealing. Again, God wants to flow through. Remember how we talked last week about bearing God's glory, being the vessels. One of the words spoken over new life, and I believe it. I know it's true. And we spoke so many years ago that we even forget it. And I remember Brother Bruce was up on the pulpit, and he said, God has called you to be ark bearers of God's glory. It was interesting, as he said that, we have several men and ministers up on the pulpit, and each one tried to get up and say their piece. You know, they meant well. There was nothing wrong with that. But they couldn't talk because the glory of God came on them. They had their speech ready, you know, because I wanted people to speak. It was a day of celebration. We come in this building. Yet God is not necessarily judged things by the bigness of the building. And the glory came down, and people were just like, and I remember, in fact, I remember talking to a couple of the guys that were in the ministry with me at that time. And, oh, they kind of understood it, but they got tongue-tied. And that was not one of their traits. Me neither. You ever see me tongue-tied? Something's going on. You see me with the ability to speak. Either I'm dying or God's moving, one or the other. I thought about that. What is God doing in us? And what is his hope for New Life Assembly? And we're to be ark bearers of God's glory. Now, people, oftentimes we kind of go, you know what I'm saying? We kind of go, well, what do I got to do to be that? And I got to tell you something. We need to continue to be shaped. We need to ask for a supernatural manifestation in our situations. Okay? Now, this is about lifestyle. What I'm giving you today, and I want to clarify as we're actually getting closer to done here today. Sometimes we hear something like this, we go, oh, I know that already, but not necessarily. In fact, do we experience this to the depth of what God means it to for us to experience? Too many times we hear truths that blow us away, and then we get used to them, and we hear them, and they mean a lot less. In fact, many times we go, oh, that was, I'm praying for an answer to this problem. Is there somebody else got an answer out there? Many times, because we have a mental familiarity with something spoken, we actually believe that we've seen the greatest depths of that truth becoming flesh in our lives, and we're just all, any of us can be wrong. Many times we move on to the next, you know, in fact, many times we have a religious pattern that we think in, you know what I'm saying? A way that we think God should do something, and God tries to approach us. You know, I've had that many times in my life. Nothing's worse than when you get a young minister that's had some training in scripture thinking he knows it all. Because he can quote a bunch of different scriptures or maybe understand history or biblical history. Nothing is worse. You know, familiarity often breeds contempt, and that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Oftentimes I've heard a truth when somebody speaks that I'm literally going, yeah, that's great. Another answer, please. Because in my arrogance, because I understood intellectually what they were saying, didn't see a whole lot of it for real, I had a grasp on it. I want you to open your mind today because every truth that is spoken, in fact, my thing is that truths are many times spoken again and again and again and again. And there's a depth. That's why when we read the scripture, it speaks to us fresh. I've been reading the scripture for decades. And if you watch me sometimes in the morning, I'll have a license and I'll have a little pen and I'll be making underline. Why do I do that? Because I've been reading the scripture for a lot of years. So why would you underline the truth? Because it spoke to me again and it spoke to me again. And no matter how many Bibles I go through, there's a depth of that truth that I'm coming into that is greater than what I have known before because it's becoming flesh in me. There are scriptures I've read for 20 years. Based on the living I'm doing, spoke more currently to me, opened up far deeper. We need to be like little kids when it comes to the scripture. We really do. You need to understand that as this transformation is going, as you are having the life and God is trying to transform you, you're going to get into truths and they're going to speak to you. And as you get older, you're going to start understanding why it's new, because every day I'm in a further part of my transformation process. You know, it's interesting. We're getting changed into the image of Jesus. And that's, again, that's right back to the whole thing. You know, it's beautiful. The more I become like Jesus said, I can't do anything except the Father's doing it. Jesus definitely didn't care about pleasing man. In fact, he had a bit of an aggressive nature towards religion. And it's interesting, as you are growing, you are being shaped into that image. Even the Word of God, you're going to open it. And like I said, there are scriptures. I've actually said this before. I was reading one scripture, and because of the life I was living, the events that were going on, literally, I read this scripture. I went, I never understood that the way I am today. I never saw that truth to the depth that I'm seeing it today. And it just opened. And I was floored, because the Word of God speaks to living, not to knowing. It's interesting. To the Hebrew, knowing something through simply the mind was not knowing it. I've talked about the Greek word epignosko. Doing and knowing to the Jew many times was the same thing. And yet we know that in Jesus' day, the Pharisees were supposed to protect the word. That was even what the word meant, Pharisee. You know why they formed? To make sure that heretics didn't take over the word. The Pharisees formed so they could protect the word of God. That was their function. Isn't it interesting? They were the loudest voice wanting to kill Jesus. Because when they saw the word become flesh, they had just begun to quote the word. It had no truth in the depth of their heart. Therefore, when they saw the word walking around Jesus, they wanted to kill, because that was the word become flesh. Do you know there's often going to be, and I believe there's a civil war coming to the body, I really do, and it's going to be between people really knowing and people not really knowing. It's going to be between head knowledge, intellectualism, and true power and glory. I'm not alone in this. I've heard this from so many believers, and I remember many years ago in the 90s being in fasting for a few days, and I went out to this farm that was really nasty and didn't even have running water. And fasting, and the Lord showed me the civil war that was coming, and he said that it'll be between the holy and the unholy. And he said it won't be as in times past where it's about gifts or eternal security, but it's going to be about the real people of God walking in the true glory of God and the hallowed church that is no longer a part of the presence of God, and they will fight against each other. That's a fact. Now, in closing, I got a few points. Everything we talk about is about lifetime and practice. If I tell you to pray for something for an answer, like if I say, let's say we're talking, and Matt, we've had plenty of talks, and if I say, hey, you need to pray about it, I actually didn't mean just the situation. It is a lifestyle, a reflex of prayerfulness. When I give counsel, I give it to the lifestyle. You know, it's interesting. Because, you know, through many years, I've told many people to pray about stuff. I told them I would be praying about stuff. And when I say pray about it, I'm actually talking to your life. And then you're getting a lifestyle of listening, a lifestyle where your reaction is going there. People often go, I tried this, but it didn't work. Well, yeah, I wouldn't tell me to try it one time. It's a lifestyle it's time to take up. You don't get nothing trying it. That's like saying at a buffet, I tried the little spoon of that, and it didn't taste good. Well, that's fine. But oftentimes, this is what you have to think about. Becoming a son of God is life. God isn't going to touch me one day, and I will come out of the room, and my wife will say, oh, my God, you're Jesus. But in my life, I'm being metamorphosized, and I'm being transformed, and we're becoming more like Jesus. If I tell you to pray through, I've talked this for years. In fact, you guys know me. In fact, we've been in the last year getting into prayer and pressing through. Did you notice I said in the last year specifically? The last year, not the last week or the last month. In fact, the last couple of years, but specifically in the last 12 months, we begin to take back up praying and pressing through. It's about a lifestyle. I didn't try it one day and say it didn't work. This is really critical, because I had this conversation not only with everybody in the church, I've had this conversation with people all over the church. But it's a lifestyle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Becoming like Jesus is also a full-length life. If I tell you to, and I wrote down some common things that I tell people. If I tell you to take authority over a demonic attack until it lifts, it's a lot deeper than you just having a feeling that it lifted. See, demonic entities, as well as the Spirit of God, they dwell in the neurology. They dwell in the thinking. That's where they dwell. The emotions, is their presence can be real unsettling emotionally, but their actual real handiwork comes in the mind. It comes in thinking, patterns of thought. How we think is how we do. I think you get the point. There's so much going on right now, but here's what I'm thinking. You know, no good news is good news. No news is good news, right? Because a newscaster will never get on the thing and say, you know, today was peaceful and everybody got along and there's perfect equity and justice for all. And all right, you know, news would be what? It'd be about 30 seconds long. And they would say, hey, it was good tuning into Channel 9. But I think about what's going on in the world, and it's so much more than now. Things keep ballooning, and I'm thinking, Lord, you can get into stuff politically. I think it's a waste of time. I'm not saying don't vote, but personally, there's nothing more waste your time than put your energies and your passion. Oh, I talk politics. Anybody that knows me, I do that, but I got to tell you something. I don't view politics as an answer at all. For Christians, if we get hung up into all this nonsense, we're gonna really be taken off tracks. But I thought, Lord, now is the time. I'm thinking about all this out in the world and the unrest. And yes, I'm thinking we need sons and daughters of God to rise all over the world. Lord, the secret lies in Jesus. You know, like somebody goes, the only solution for this world is Jesus. I agree, but did you ever think about what that technically means? Yeah, it is Jesus. And guess who is being transformed into that image? You, me. The solution to the world isn't Jesus simply breaking the eastern sky. That's when he's coming back. That's when he's making war and taking us home. The solution to the world needs Jesus. That means the call to being having the Son of God manifest in your life is huge. Now, people will stumble over this because, number one, you have many sects of Christianity that they're strictly intellectual. It's just strike points. They hold the knowledge. They have some morals. You talk about supernatural stuff, you get a cold shoulder. Talking about being a manifest son of God. And then Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren because we are being made in that very image. And I'm thinking about, you know, again, Jesus, what are you doing? God wants to transform your situation. I understand one of the enemies and we live. It's called time. Think about this. You ask God for something and you want it changed. And then what if you're part of the solution to the change? What if your stance, what if your being Jesus is part of what's going on? I've often prayed for situations to magically appear. I have. Now, I want to say this as a disclaimer. I've prayed for a situation and God has sovereignly moved on a situation. I pray for a situation I'm not around. I'm not there to change it. That's fine. But it's funny because so many times as God does that work, he does it. There's people on the ground there that Jesus is manifesting through. Where will we be with this? It's part of the point. Now, this is an individual thing today as I talk to you. So I would never want you to go out of here, you know, pointing at each other and say, you need to manifest Jesus because you're a jerk. You know, I'd really rather not do that because that's not what I'm getting at. I need to look at myself. I need to look at myself and say, be manifest in me. And before, oftentimes, we're really good at looking at the world and knocking them, and they're so lost. And yeah, they are. But my thinking is kind of funny. What have I been to them? When I'm dealing with people in the world, have I been the manifestation of the Son of God? Or I've been the manifestation of a bunch of rhetoric? This is really important for myself, for any of us to think about. You know, I often judge situations. Now I'm going to tell you, there are times you will manifest Jesus and you will get attacked. Absolutely. There are times the Spirit of God will come to you and move in you and touch your life, and you will come up and attack within 24 hours. And it'll be frantic, and it'll be hostile. Do you know why? Well, I've told you why. I don't even need to re-explain that. Many times I've had God lift up me up and bless my being. I've had the visitation of God in my life, and the Son of God was in me and to me and through me. And then it's like all hell breaks loose in a 24-hour span. So I'm not telling you if Jesus manifests in you, everybody will love you tomorrow and everybody will do what you ask and everything will be good. No, in fact, sometimes your light infringes upon a darkness and it offends people. That's fine. And listen, I was one of those people who was walking in darkness and was offended at the very mention of Christianity. I was one of those people that I was so turned off if you mentioned Jesus. I mean, I remember Baptist kids witnessing to me, my God, as far as I was concerned, these weirdos needed to shut up. I've been on both sides of the equation. Strong, I might add that. This is my prayer today for us, because this is, I think, what the cure for the world is. And how do you see yourself in closing? When you walk into a situation, do you say you're outnumbered? Do you think you're weak? Do you think you're a minority? I see, this is part of the problem. I watch Jesus, and he walks in this world, and he walks in situations, and he just comes in. And he goes, and he even sits with sinners, right? And he speaks to them. And people get changed and people get transformed. Not all the time. Like I said, they tried to take Jesus, remember? Took him up to the hill to stone him. And I actually believe he, I don't know if he was invisible, but it says he passed through them. It may have been, he might have actually been translated through space to get out of the crowd. They were going to kill him. Isn't it funny? One time they're praising him, the other time they're trying to kill him. He claims who he is. He actually uses the tetragrammaton as why they tried to stone him. Because he claimed God as his father, therefore making himself equal with God. The Jews understood this very good. My rabbi used to always tell me, he said, you know, his rabbi would talk to him very upset with him because you can't believe her in Yeshua. And it's cursed to proclaim here, your curse is a man who says he's the son of God. And my rabbi used to tell me something, he used to correct me if he said, yeah, who says he's the son of God? The problem with Jesus is he was the son of God. Yes. Cursed is a person who claims to be the Son of God, therefore making himself equal with God. Claims. But there's a huge difference between the one who claims and the one that was actually the Son part of the Trinity. It's interesting. Let's all rise and pray today. You may be watching even on video today and say, you know what? I think it's good what you said, but man, you should be in my situation because I'm trying and I'm praying and I'm asking God to do it. Well, if you're with me today, even via video, I want to tell you something. God is going to raise up something in you that's incredible. And you're going to see a transformation that is going to truly change the game for you. You have more power than you realize. You need to understand that today. You need to grab it today. Father, we grab the hope as we dismiss today. I know that even in my life, you dealt with me. Even as you told me, the power that I allow to change me will change those around me. Lord, but it is not 100%. There are people I've run into that don't want to know about Jesus. There are people, situations I've come in where the situation in itself, I couldn't solve it. Lord, there are so many things that go in, and I would pray today for strengthening for your people. Boy, I looked at the looting, the riots, I looked at so many different things, and I thought, you know, the Son of God has to be manifest. Lord, I remember in one of the days of unrest, and even in my own neighborhood, went out and just walked the block and began to pray. And the glory of God was so strong on me. It didn't mean that your glory had taken over the entire world, but you were with us. Lord, I pray as we dismiss today, you would touch everyone because my heart, Lord, I thought about something the other night. I thought, what is my heart for our people, the New Life people? What is my heart? Because they're all family and dear friends. Love every one of them. Respect them to no end. And I thought, I want to see Christ formed in them, Father. That's my heart. That's what I'm jealous for. That's what I fight for. That's what I want. Lord, you are no respecter of persons. You desire all of your people, God, to be that Jesus in the generation, that Jesus in the situation. Lord, there are many ministries in this room, and there are endeavors, and I believe things that some will do that we would our jaw would drop in disbelief if you said, I'm going to use him or her. Them in this way, and I'm going to accomplish, we would just say, Lord, how can that be? We tend to look at the stature of people, the age of people. We look at a lot of things, but Jesus, I would pray something. Even I've got plenty of situations where I need to be a growing son of God in that situation. I have things I deal with that aren't easy. I have family that I deal with that need Jesus desperately, that are walking in darkness. And I want them to know, I do not want them to leave this world unredeemed. And yet this is a word I preach to myself because it's a challenge that keeps coming, Father. It's a challenge. It will come because I will be in new situations that require a son of God. I will be in new trials that require a son of God. Lord, life doesn't stop. It keeps moving forward. But I really believe we are stronger than we know because you are in us. I know. Here's the last thing I pray, Lord. This whole process of transformation is progressive. It's not done in a day or even a month or even a year. It goes on and it goes on. But here's the thing, and I pray this to boost faith. You're the author of my faith, Jesus. So that means that you're the one overseeing the process that's going on in me. And you're the one even writing the books in the days by day that I live. You've written them down. Thank you that you're procuring. If it was me, Lord, and I had to look in the mirror and say, Mike, are you able? The answer would be no. The answer would be absolutely no. But because you're working, because you're working in me, because your spirit and by your blood you're working, it is possible and it is a done deal. Lord, I pray a special prayer for people watching today. And Lord, I think of Barbara, who we love, and John, and these are family members. I think of Johnny in North Carolina, and just a good old friend of mine. And I pray that you would bless their spirits today. I pray for everyone in New Life. You would lift their spirits up. And I pray that we can, Lord, I don't want us to bite and devour each other ever. But Lord, we acknowledge today that we are in historical times and it has and does have an effect. So I pray shalom peace. It does, Lord. We can get biting, myself included. We can get irritated. Lord, I pray today just for everyone. Shalom peace with the world today. Shalom peace, God. Lord, again, I pray your protection. But lift up the down spirit today. Lift up those who are down. I pray for those that are lagging, that feel depressed. Lift them up today. Lasting deliver. Father, I've been praying for deliverance for all of us, meaning where the devil's working in our lives, where he slips into the fabric or one of his little imps. Lord, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My brother, my sister, they're not my enemies. I have another enemy, the enemy, and we know that all. So I pray today, deliver. I've been praying for that for months and months now, just free up. Lord, it's not the things that I know that hurt me as much as the things that I'm not aware of that many times hurt me. So give us that vision today. Give us that vision. And we dare to believe we're in that Romans 8:28 process. The biggest words I can say is, you are not done with Mike. Thank God for that. You are not done with Matt or Don or Josh or Melissa or Barbara or John or Armand, Dallas. You are not done with Johnny. You are not done. We haven't seen anything yet. Period. We've seen some years and we think we've just seen it all and we haven't, Lord. We're so inexperienced. There's so much room to grow. Clothe us in humility. Even as we close today, clothe us in humility and the gentleness of humility. I pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, everyone.